There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to,
buy, buy, buy,
in a bear market, or
sell, sell, sell,
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Travel these days has been hit or miss at best, I suppose. But he's
snowing around the country. I was looking at those photos from the security lines in Atlanta after, you know, it's where the national championship game was, and people were waiting like miles outside of the terminal. I mean, my God.
Well, if you go to something like that where, you know, like essentially everyone's traveling in, right? I mean, you're talking, I don't know what that stadium holds, maybe 80,000 people. I don't know how many were, you know, just, you know, regular walk up crowd there. But I'm guessing you probably had about, I don't know, 50,000 people fly in for that game, something like that. And that's not even counting the number of people that probably flew in just to hang around the game, right? And you know, just want to be there. And so if you're going to schedule your flight back, don't you like maybe not take the, you know, the 8 a.m. or after the game? Like, don't you maybe wait, you know, spend a day, an extra day, enjoy the city or something? But yeah, those were, that was pure nightmare fuel to see those lines at the airport. Those can get pretty ugly. But it was what a mess that was. At that airport. Speaking of messes, Dono, the Jimmy Butler saga continues as the Heat lost last night to the Portland Trailblazers, 116-107. Miami led after one, and then it went downhill. The Heat put up 17 points in the second quarter, got outscored by 10 in that quarter, and again, it fell apart from there. They got outscored 36-22 in the third. They actually won the fourth, but it didn't really matter much at that point. Jimmy Butler continues to put up very pedestrian numbers here. He played 26 minutes at 13 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. And again, very, very average numbers for someone who is getting paid what he is getting paid with expectations that he has around him, Dono. He just continues to disappoint here, and it might be coming to an end soon, though. That is the I don't know if it's good news or news, but it's news nonetheless. As Phoenix now has gotten 3 more first round picks, because apparently this deal, and maybe you can help explain this to me. I'm trying to make sense of this. They did a deal with Utah where Utah gets a 2031 pick. And then they had to give back 3 firsts in exchange for that pick. And I know some are like protected, some are not. But I don't know, man. A 3-for-1 doesn't seem that great to me. Nope. That's what happened here. And it looks like this trade could be closer and closer to happening. I think it's bizarre that Jimmy wants to go to Phoenix. To me, like, I mean, you want to play with Kevin Durant, you know, Devin Booker, that's fine. They're not very good right now. They're a 500 team. They're on the outside looking in at the playoffs in the Western Conference. So I just, again, the grass is not always greener, right, is what I guess I would say to Jimmy. But this looks like it's probably going to happen, if I had to guess at this point.
Well, I think in the case of Phoenix, he knows they are willing to pay him and give him the contract that he seeks. I think that's what it comes down to, which – fine. I mean, nothing wrong with that. You know, you want to secure, you know, your financial terms, what's best for you and your family and all that. Like, you know, well, it is what it is. I mean, if he was trying to characterize it as wanting to go somewhere else because he wants to win. I don't think that's really the case. I think he wants to get the financial security that he was seeking from the Miami Heat, that Pat Riley was not willing to give him the extension that he wants. And I think that's the reason why that's the one place he wants to go to. And it, you know, seems like, you know, Phoenix probably did tamper, but since I'm not a Wisconsin Badger fan, I'm not offended by that enough to
want
to sue him over it. Like it happens. Like people tampering happens all the time. You know, so but I think that's the reason why that seems to be really the one place that Jimmy wants to go to is Phoenix, and I think a lot is being done behind the scenes to make sure that's the spot that gets it done.
Well, the funniest part of this whole thing is Jimmy is going to prove once again in the NBA that if you cry loud enough and you throw a big enough temper tantrum and you throw a big enough fit, you're going to get what you want, right? You're going to get exactly what you want. Jimmy is going to make out of this getting exactly what he asked for, essentially, right? To go to Phoenix and get his contract. Like, he is going to get exactly what he wants to a T, which is, like, again, it just goes to show you the NBA, if you cry loud enough, you're going to get exactly what you want. There's a lot of Kevin Durant, by the way, who's there, is a pretty good example of that, right? I mean, Kevin Durant has bounced around the league. He's been on all these different teams. He's bounced around everywhere. And, you know, it was funny. Like, we were watching, you know, went to the game on Friday when Denver was here. Russell Westbrook is on Denver now. And looks like Russell Westbrook figured out again how to play basketball. Because he's playing at a pretty high level over there. And I turned to my son. I said, you know, this guy Russell Westbrook used to be one of the best players in basketball. And he was on a team with Kevin Durant and James Harden. Yeah. And they played down here in the finals. And, you know, they he goes, well, why don't they play together still? So, well, they couldn't get along. You know, there's always something that happens with these groups. And they just could not figure it out. And money gets in the way, and, you know, egos get in the way, and all these things happen. But it does look like right now the Heat are heading towards a divorce here with Jimmy, which is sad, right? It's a sad way. And Dwayne Wade, I think, said it best. It's tragic. It is tragic to see this end this way with a guy who has given a franchise this much, and a guy that, you know, Dono, and I don't want to debate it today, but I am very confident that when Jimmy retires, that he will come back here. They will honor him. They will put his jersey in the rafters. And I think it'll, you know, they'll all hug and make up. But right now, it's a very sad ending to this.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that in the long-term future, because the Heat organization, and it's, you know, Pat Riley is, I think, the one who sets the tone for this. You know, even if, you know, but by the time this happens, you know, after Jimmy's career is over, whether Pat is still running the organization or not, like they like to mend those fences after the fact, right? They've done it with Shaquille O'Neal. You know, they, you know, with LeBron James, they're really trying to mend that fence. You know, the bridge was pretty severely burned, which already happened more than 10 years ago, which makes me feel old now that LeBron divorce happened in, what, 2014, and we're now into 2025. It makes me feel incredibly old.
It does.
But yet with the Jimmy thing, like it's becoming tougher and tougher, you know, for an organization to try to be, you know, bigger than the egos and the personalities, because the Heat have always been that. And it's a testament to the structure and the culture of the organization that they only bend so much for superstars. I mean, LeBron was not happy about not having more, you know, leeway within the organization before he left. And I think the Heat actually, you know, they made certain concessions for Jimmy, but they were only willing to go so far with it. So it's not the most, like, superstar friendly organization. Like the superstar has to kind of work in confines with the Heat, because Pat Riley, it's his rules. It's his franchise. Like, he's not going to let any one player run the franchise. It's never been their MO. It wasn't their MO with, you know, no matter who's been here, from Zoe, Wade, Timmy, LeBron. It's always been the organization does it their way, but it's becoming harder and harder to operate that way when you see Jimmy, you know, exercising his own leverage the way that he has. I feel like most of the public opinion is probably behind the Heat right now. And a lot of people think that Jimmy is acting a little childish with this whole thing, but there are certainly folks out there who are backing up Jimmy over the Heat organization. It's not 100-0 in that.
Yeah, and I think if you took the personal feelings out of it and you forget the fact that, you know, he essentially quit on his team and seems to be kind of dogging it out there, Don. I don't know. I don't accuse anyone of doing that necessarily, but it does not appear that he's fully engaged, I guess would be a nice way of putting it. But, you can't tell the Heat franchise story without Jimmy Butler. He's been one of their best, one of the best players to ever put on a Heat uniform. And unfortunately, right now, because of how ugly this thing has gotten, you know, you tend to forget about that. And I know people are angry and upset, and rightfully so, because, you know, you look at this roster and you think, well, you know, maybe they can make a play and you know, make a run at this thing one more time. If Jimmy would just, you know, stop acting the way that he's acting. You got a guy in Khalil Ware who is really coming on. I mean, this guy, yeah. Dono, I mean, another 20 and 15 game last night.
Yeah, like 25 the previous game. Yeah,
he's starting to come on. They're playing him big minutes here. You got Nikola Jovic, who continues to chip in as another young guy on this team. Jaime Jaquez, this is the only one I'm a little concerned about. He seems to have taken a little bit of a step back here, but maybe just a little sophomore slump type deal with him. But I just think between Tyler Hero, Terry Rozier, and Bam Adebayo, you have a good enough core if Jimmy plays like Jimmy, but it just hasn't come to fruition, and I don't think Jimmy is going to he's not going to give you that playoff Jimmy anymore here, Dono. I think he is I think he's fully checked out at this point.
Yeah, in fact, you know, if he is still here beyond the February 6th trade deadline, I wonder if he even shows up to play, because it's one of those things where, you know, I had a conversation about this with Ethan Skolnick from the Five Reasons Sports Network, who is, you know, he's always on top of his Heat reporting. Mm-hmm. And the way he described it to me was that the Heat and Jimmy kind of have a truce right now that, hey, you're going to play, we're all going to do our best to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, at least until the trade deadline. Right, that Jimmy is kind of, you know, agreed to be close to his best behavior, and the Heat, same thing up until February 6th, and they're clearly trying to work on a deal. And Phoenix must be getting some indications that they're, you know, they've got a green light to work on this when they're, like you mentioned, they made that deal with Utah for the pick swap, which is something that is necessary to make a Jimmy trade happen. But if for whatever reason, guys, we can't get this deal done by February 6th, and Jimmy is still a member of the Miami Heat, I wonder if, you know, it might reach a point where the sides just say, all right, we're not even going to continue. We're going to have to pay Jimmy to sit home and not play for the rest of the year. I hope it doesn't come to that.
Texas says, I completely disagree with you guys. Jimmy will never have his jersey in the rafters. He has never won anything. Riley will never let it happen. Well, that's not true. He has won, you know, conference championships. I know that's not the end goal, right. But it's been a very good run that the Heat have had under Jimmy, and I couldn't disagree more. I do think when this is done that Pat Riley and Jimmy will both realize that this is a business, and this is, you know, unfortunately how Jimmy has handled his business. Not great, but it's not the first time the Heat have had a messy breakup with a star. And, you don't think LeBron is going to get his jersey put up in those rafters? That thing didn't end particularly well down here. Remember, LeBron wouldn't even let Riley meet with him? Up there, Vegas, right?
Vegas.
Wouldn't even let him, talk to him. Again, these things, it's a messy business. Sports can be messy, and like any business, but there's no question that Jimmy is going to get his jersey put up here.
You think about Shaquille O'Neal. The Heat made good with Shaq, and that was a really messy exit that he had when he was traded.
Yeah. Jimmy's jersey will be up in those rafters, guys, and you know what? We'll all go and we'll cheer him, and you know, we'll remember the good times, because there were good times, right, Dono? We can't can't just harp on the bad and, you know, punish the guy for life. I think, unfortunately for Jimmy, I do think he's a strange guy, but I also think he gets a lot of really bad information, and I don't think that he has good people around him, quite honestly. And I think there's probably a lot of yes men. I think he seems to surround himself with his buddies. I think his agent has done him a massive disservice with all the information he's given him and the leaking and the, you know, his agent, Bernie Lee, seems like a person who just really thrives on attention. Like, he just needs it. He's desperate for it. And we see a lot of that these days, right? There's a lot of people who are on Twitter and these social media sites and such, and they just they need attention. They feed off of it. They live for it. And Jimmy's agent, unfortunately, seems like one of those people. For Jimmy, like, for his agent to have to put out the Jordan I'm back thing, like, you didn't retire to go play another sport, you know, or something like that. Like, you got suspended for quitting. Like, come on, yeah. Man. I'm back, really? And then you're going to wear the Jordan 45 jersey? Like, you got anything in common with MJ right now? MJ didn't quit on his team. That guy, when he was on the court, Donna, there's no doubt. Like, there was no game where MJ was like, I'm done. My contract isn't right. I'm not going to play tonight. Like, I'm going to stand in the corner and pout. That's all you, Jimmy. You own that all yourself, my friend. Like, you got to live with that.
I still can't get past the fact that, and listen, I understand anybody, no matter how rich you are, you know, you can still be unhappy. So, but to talk about not having your joy anymore for basketball when you're making almost $50 million. So still, I have a hard time wrapping. I would be able to find joy for, you could pay me $5 million or $500,000. I could find my joy for basketball.
I play for 50 bucks a game if they need me out there. Yeah, I'll put up a couple threes for them.
I can find my joy.
If they want. Texter says, Jimmy is going to the Suns and getting his money. How is he getting bad advice? I think he's getting bad advice because I think there's a right way and a wrong way to handle things. And I think that the way that Jimmy has handled this is absolutely embarrassing. And I think it's a major stain on his career, right? I think that he obviously had bad stops everywhere else he had been in his NBA career, and that was the wrap on him, and it went really well for him here in Miami. And Dwayne, you know, again, I think Dwayne Wade said it like absolutely perfect. Like, he found a soft landing spot here in Miami. He took over this team and he, you know, put his stamp on this thing. And, you know, again, for it to end this way, like Dwayne said, it is tragic, and I think a lot of this has been fueled, unfortunately, by the people around him. And there's a right way and a wrong way to handle these things, but to go out there and quit on your team and, you know, force your way out is just, it's kind of sad. It really is that this is what, and unfortunately, and this is why I think it's on the agent. I think it's on the people around him. This is what he's going to be remembered for a while down here. You know, this is going to be the last thing people remember, Dono. And that's kind of sad, right? Like to me, I just think that that's a really, really tough way for a guy like this. Everything that he's done here, for him to go out this way, man, I really do think it could have been handled better. And the Heat are not innocent in this whole thing. I think they probably could have handled it better as well. But really, on Jimmy's end, man, like, you don't quit. Like, that's just kind of like the one thing you don't do. Tyreek Hill did it. Jimmy did it. We had two guys quit in the same week. Two of our biggest stars quit on their teams in the same week, which I hope that never happens again down here. But, it's an interesting one. But I do think eventually they will hug it out and all will be well. And a texter says, I hope he never wins a championship. I don't think he's going to win one in Phoenix. I really don't.
No, I don't think so either.
I think, to be honest, all the teams I've watched this year, Dono, I don't know that anyone's better than Denver right now.
Nope.
And I know you got your regular season Warriors like the Cavs and the Thunder, who are winning, you know, as many regular season games as possible. But Denver the other night, man, they looked really good. And the big guy is playing the best basketball of his career right now, perhaps. And I know he'd said in an interview last night he thinks he is. Yeah. That team looks really, really tough to beat. Welcome back in here on QAM Hollywood. Dono, Dan Day with you. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, where we are joined by Alex Dono's co-host here on the Locked on ACC podcast. Kenton Gibbs is here with us this morning on QAM. Ken, good morning. Thank you for the time.
Oh, good morning. I'm always happy to be here, especially, you know, Hollywood Dono is the right nickname for that guy. He's definitely a Hollywood type of guy. And I'm not talking about Hollywood, Florida, if you catch my drift.
Well, Ken, let's jump right into it here, if we can. And, boy, there has been a lot of news here coming out of the ACC, and they want to mix this thing up, apparently. They are floating some ideas around as far as, you know, do you want to have the regular season champions sit out the championship game and let 2 and 3 battle it out so you could get another team in the playoff potentially? Do you want to do some sort of, you know, 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3, and then make it a 2-game situation here? They're bouncing around some ideas here. What do you think of these things here?
You know, I'm not a person who doesn't believe if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but it really does feel like we're reinventing the wheel here. Imagine a world where all the conferences already came up with a system, where teams kind of play each other in a round-robin type of setting during the regular season, and then the top two teams out of those groups, or out of that kind of format, play each other, and then we call them a champion. Who knows? Crazy idea, insane idea, but I think that might be the winner of the group, because to have number one sit out all together to try to gamify the system, that is pansy-like, that is soft, that is everything that is wrong with football right now. And then to have the idea of, well, you know, not only will we have all of our top four teams have a chance, but we're also going to extend your season to make you play an extra game in order to decide a champion. It's just, all of it is foolish. The way that it works now is perfectly fine. And to throw an extra game onto ACC team schedules would be absolutely unfair. The only way I could see this being feasible is if it was a situation where they took away a non-conference game and said, hey, y'all have to play an extra conference game at the end of the season, and that last conference game will be to be determined, because while 1 through 4 go through the conference tournament, everybody else would be assigned a random team. And even with that, I mean, I would believe that it would have to be Army-Navy week, because nobody wants to be the only rivalry not playing on rivalry week.
Hmm. Oh, that's a fair point. Kenton Gibbs is with us. You know, KG, another thing that, you know, people are talking about, the college football playoff format. We had the first year of 12 teams. People loved to complain about it. I actually enjoyed the way the playoff played out. But when it comes to ideas about changing the seeding, possibly so that you don't give like an Arizona State a first round bye like you had this year. And I also, Kenton, something I'm sure we'll talk about on the next episode of Locked On ACC as well. I read an article this morning that, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to have a meeting about how they want the college football playoff format to be tweaked. I don't think the ACC or the Big 12 or anybody else is being invited to that meeting. So you know what that means. They're going to try to make it as favorable for their own conferences as possible. But I mean, would you do much of anything? Would you tweak the 12 team format after what you saw this year?
I may tweak how the buys work. I may tweak that just a little bit, but in terms of how everything else went, I don't think it's necessarily fair to make some of the adjustments that are likely going to come down the pipe if the SEC and Big Ten have their way. The adjustment that I see as the most correct, or the most, you know, sane and succinct of them, would be to have conference champions get home field advantage in the first round. To me, I really don't care how you cut it, how you slice it. If you are the better team, but you just didn't win your conference because you play in oh so powerful of a conference, that's fine. Go prove it on the road. Go prove it on the road. If Penn State is that much better of a team than SMU, you can prove it in Dallas. Because if Texas is a better team than Clemson, they can go prove it in Death Valley. Because guess what? Clemson won their conference. The fair and square. They did the thing. So to me, there should be a reward beyond, hey, you're here, you get a seat here for conference champions. To me, you should be awarded a home game, and the at-largest have to go to the home teams in order to, you know, make it further in the playoffs. But in terms of reseeding and all that, I'm not wholly against bye weeks as they are currently set up, and I would assume that those top four teams would be against bye weeks. I mean, hell, they went 0-4 this year. Not a single team with a bye won a game this year. So, you know, I'm not sure I would adjust that all too much. I would just make sure that, hey, if you're a conference champion, if you're one of the top five conference champions and you get in, you deserve a home game. You don't just deserve the treatment of, well, you won, so you're here technically. Not go on the road into one of the most ruckus environments and win a football game.
So I'm already seeing way too early 2025 predictions coming out on all the websites that cover college football, people identifying like who are playoff contenders, who's not. From the ACC, and of course, you know, we're in Miami here, Kenton, so I'd love your take on whether you think Miami can compete and get into one of those top 12 spots this year. And elsewhere in the ACC, I know you and I both believe Clemson is probably the odds-on favorite to win the ACC this year based on who they're returning for next year and the lack of turnover compared to some of the other teams out there. But, I mean, how many teams in the ACC do you think will be bona fide playoff contenders for next year?
Oh, man. You know, if we're talking how many teams I believe, hey, this team is a solid playoff contender heading into next season, I see maybe 2 to 3. And I could be surprised because we believed that we had multiple this year and turned out we were wrong. Turned out all of us talking heads are just that. We're talking heads, but we may watch ball. We may think we know ball, but who could have predicted how bad Florida State was going to be last year? Who could have predicted how good SMU was going to be last year? But at the moment, I currently see 2 to 3 teams that I look at and I say, hey, this team, they're right there. They're knocking on the door. I'm not going to be surprised. Or they were there last year. And those teams, I know this is Miami Station, but Dono, you know how I feel about Carson Beck. You know how I feel about him. I don't seriously see Miami as one of those teams only because of him, because I believe that he's a thermostat. A thermometer guy, not a thermostat guy. I think that he'll tell you the temperature of your offense. I don't think he's going to raise the temperature of your offense. I don't think Cam Ward, ultimate thermostat guy. That is a guy, wherever you put him, congratulations, that offense just got exponentially better. Carson Beck, I don't know. I see him as a guy that's like, I mean, hey, he's cool. You know, he ain't going to kill you. He's going to get it into the playmaker's hand, but you need some big-time playmakers around him if you're going to do something special, in my opinion, there. But in terms of teams who do have it and are looking prime, I mean, Clemson is not losing a ton of weapons. I mean, that team should be loaded going into next year. Wesco will finally understand a majority of the playbook, most likely, because it's not a situation where this young man is having one camp to figure out everything he needs to and go from there. Williams, everybody knows what a stud I think he is. If their other receiver can stay healthy, number 13, I believe his last name is Brown. If he can stay healthy, that group could be dangerous. That group could be downright terrifying in terms of their ability. And Kay took a step last year. Actually, he didn't take a step. He took a step, a skip, a hop, and a jump last year because by the end of the year, he was exponentially better than we ever could have imagined. So I think that their team, SMU, obviously, much better in the trenches than we believed last year. Kevin Jennings has got to clean up those turnover problems. But if he can do that, Rhett Lashley has coached up that team to be hard-nosed, to be physical up front, stopping the run like nobody's business. And so if that offense can just maintain where they are, which, I mean, I don't know if Miami fans know anything about that Rhett Lashley guy. I'm kidding. Of course y'all do. He's a hell of an offensive mind. So, you know, it's those are probably the two teams that I would definitely say, oh, yeah, I have no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The third team, this may shock some people. This may disappoint some people. Georgia Tech. Haynes King is a guy that I look at and regard very highly. My question about them, can you finally stop being the upset the apple cart team and be the team that shows up week in and week out? They have the talent there at many positions. Obviously, losing one of the best receivers in the nation coming back is not ideal. But you have the talent there. You have a quarterback that's on his 12th year. When Haynes King started playing college football, I had a firm hairline. I'm as bald as Dono now. So that team, to me, they're built the right way in the trenches. And we have seen when they play to the upper end of their potential, they can play with and hang with anybody. My only problem is, can they play to that potential consistently? And I'm sorry, fourth team here, last team is Louisville. Louisville, that running back duo they got is special. Those two young men, they're going to be legends in Louisville if they reach their top potential. And Brahm is the quarterback whisperer. The new transfer in from USC didn't look bad. He wasn't the reason USC has had their struggles. You know, it's hard to win when your defense is giving up 30-plus points per game. So I
yeah, we know that down here.
hey, trust me, I get it. And so I look at those four teams as like, hey, those are the four where I think they're bringing back enough weapons, and I think they're bringing back enough defensively, and I think they're bringing back enough at quarterback to where I'm like, I'm expecting you to contend. I'm expecting all four of those teams to either be there or be damn close. And there are multiple other teams that people would like to mention in that category that I just don't think are there yet.
Ken, I want to thank you for the time this morning. Appreciate it. Love the outlook on the conference, and thank you for spending some time with us here this morning.
Absolutely. Anything for my main man, Dono. If y'all couldn't tell, I was joking when I said Dono is Hollywood earlier. He's one of the best in the business. I'm excited to come on with you, brother.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right. Dono, just to step away from our sports world for just a quick second, I don't know if you saw this. Netflix had their earnings yesterday, their company earnings.
No, I didn't see it.
They did quite well for themselves, and they have 300 million subscribers at the moment, all over the world. Their stock this morning has hit $1,000 a share, and Dan is pumping his fists in there. Dan, are you an investor or something? We didn't even discuss this with you.
No, I don't even know. I'm just saying.
Okay, Dan was just pumping his fists.
He just loves Netflix. He's a big fan of Netflix and chill.
For all of our Netflix fans out there, guess what, Dono? Enough is it's never enough, because the standard plan is going to be raising its price by $2.50.
But they're making so much money. Why do they need more?
Because it's just not enough, folks.
Well, I'm thinking of reasons why they're doing so well. I mean, obviously, you know, those NFL playoff games, a lot of people, I'm sure, subscribed for that. They got I know you're a big pro wrestling fan now, Hollywood. They got the Monday Night Raw on there. And also, within the last year or two, which I actually approved of this, they really started clamping down on people sharing their accounts and passwords, because I had, like, people that were that I maybe shared my account with, like, years, like family members, mooching on. And I wanted to cut them off, and I wasn't mean enough to do it. But now I'm like, hey, Netflix says you got to get your own account now. I got to cut you off now. So they actually made my life a little easier by doing that. So now you got more people actually paying for it and not mooching.
So they're again, they're going to raise price. I'll go over all the tiers really quick here, Dono. But the company reported on Tuesday, revenue increased 16% last quarter, exceeding $10 billion for the first time in its history. Operating income totaled $2.3 billion. They also announced a $15 billion stock buyback. Again, the shares have touched $1,000 here this morning. The membership increases are going from $15.49 to $17.99. That will be the standard membership. The standard membership with ads will rise just $1 to $7.99. The highest price premium tier, which includes 4K video quality, will also increase by $2 to $24.99. Now, I want to ask you this as well. I don't know about this 4K situation. I don't know what's in 4K, if there's even a difference. Are you a 4K person? You just got a new TV. It says 4K on it. I just don't know, like, anything about it.
No, I am a 4K fan, but I do not, like, and I have two 4K TVs in my house, but I do not have the 4K Netflix plan, just because it's so expensive. Like, I can't justify it. Like, I think I've got the plan that's, like, right below the highest plan that doesn't include 4K. Because I was going with the commercial one for a while, but Netflix is really sneaky about this. Because for most of the other services I have, like, I don't mind, like, 3 minutes of ads, like Paramount Plus or whatever else I've got. But with Netflix, they don't make all of the shows available with the lowest plan. So I remember, like, wanting to watch a certain show or movie that I couldn't watch with the commercial plan. So I had to upgrade to the commercial free. But I am a 4K enthusiast. But
really? An enthusiast?
Every man has
okay.
his limit.
Well, I got to try it out. I'll have to try it out then. I've never seen it. I don't think I've, as far as I know, I don't think I've seen anything in 4K.
Oh.
But yeah. I will tell you, it is so hard. I can't even keep track of what we're a member of anymore. Like, I'll just go to the app, and if I can watch what I want to watch, we're good. If I get the screen, yeah, they're like, same. You're not a member. I'll just figure it out at another point. Like, I want to watch Severance Season 2. I'm not a member of Apple TV Plus or whatever
Apple
that thing's
TV
called.
Apple TV Plus, by the way, I'm pretty sure that's in 4K. I get great resolution on my Severance.
Well, that's good to know. And then I know Gladiator 2 is on, Paramount Plus? I think they're on there, so I'm not a member of that one either. So maybe we might have to talk afterwards, Dono. Maybe we can work on doing a little switcheroo here on these passwords. But it's pretty crazy, man. And a lot of this, again, stems from live sports. It is quite the business, and these companies are all lining up to continue to pay for the rights for live sports. And man, there is just there is so many of these leagues that are profiting off of this, and MLS might be the newest one that's really done well for themselves with the Apple deal, right? Mm-hmm. And they've found a pretty good home as well. So anyway, it's a little sports business talk here for you this morning on a Wednesday morning. We have the 9 o'clock hour coming up. We'll get back into your text. A lot of stuff has come in this morning. I get people are down on Jimmy. I get it, man. I get it. I hope when this divorce, you know, eventually happens and, you know, things start to cool off for a while, maybe he will come back here and we'll hang his jersey in the rafters and he can go manage his coffee shop over there in the design district, and everyone will be happy.